On 38 Ships Today, the story of Captain Bernhard Hermann Walther, a West Australian of the 11th Battalion. And to help us tell the story from Monash University's 100 Stories project, Laura James. Laura, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us this morning. Now, Captain Bernhard Hermann Walther, or he was known as Boyce or Bernie, wasn't he?
Yeah, it's quite strange. All his family and friends called him Boyce from when he was a young boy, so we'll go with Boyce.
Yeah, so Boyce was a Victorian but grew up in Western Australia.
He did. He was the only son of his parents. He had three older sisters as well.
And what do we know of Boyce and his early times?
Well, we know that he was much loved within his community. He was quite a bright boy. He attended the Perth Boys State School and he trained in accountancy and he secured a government job in the Colonial Secretary's Department as a clerk. And this was all before he enlisted and headed to war at the age of 19.
So at 19, he enlisted in Western Australia?
He did, in Perth, yep. And he was in the first contingent that sailed on board the Ascansius. He was one of the first to arrive and he also was one of the first to land at Gallipoli.
What do we know of those early times? Did he keep a diary?
He did, actually, and we do have his diary. And he's got a great quote about landing at Gallipoli, if you'd like me to read it out to you.
Yeah.
So it says, April 25th, Sunday, boarded the destroyer and landed on the Gallipoli Peninsula at 4 a.m. under heavy fire. Left pack on the beach and advanced about 2 miles with machine guns over heavy country. Entrenched on top of hill and got guns in position under exceptionally heavy fire. The bullets were whistling around us in thousands, and raising a head a few inches meant stopping one of the Turkish pills. It's a marvel how we got through.
Mm. So he was straight into the thick of it, first up.
He was, and I think his whole diary just captures the carnage and confusion that was Gallipoli, and he managed to stay at Gallipoli the whole time, so right from the beginning until the evacuation. And he was actually one of the only in his original section that had not been killed, wounded or evacuated. People said that he had a charmed life.
So he was one of the first there and one of the last to leave.
He was, yep.
What else do we know of his time at Gallipoli?
Well, he rose through the ranks quite quickly. In the 18 months of war that he was there, he had 5 promotions. He went from private to captain. By March 1916, so he rose quite quickly and he was well regarded and he saw a lot of action.
Yeah. Any more comments from his diary?
We do. He's got. He speaks about at the beginning of August, a Turkish shell exploded in his gun placement and he writes, "It killed and wounded 4 men who were with me. It was horrible." And that same day, he wrote again about the reaction on the nerves of the shells and how it was awful, and he had a much needed quiet day the next day.
So he's starting to feel the effects of what was called shell shock in those days.
Definitely. I think his diary really shows the extremes of Gallipoli, and on one page you get a graphic description of the bloodshed in battle, and then on the next, you know, accounts of the men who he fought beside or going for a swim after dinner. So yeah, it really is just oscillates between the extremes.
Yep. Now, he went on to, as we said, he was one of the last to leave Gallipoli in the evacuation, but he then went to Poitiers, didn't he?
He did. He went to France, and at Poitiers, unfortunately, Bernie received a gunshot wound to his abdomen, and the doctors gave him no chance of survival from his outset. Yet it took the poor boy 3 days to die, so he was 21 when he died.
So he was dead just 2 years after enlisting?
Yep, 18 months after enlisting he was dead.
Gee. Now, there's an interesting backstory to this because in your research you found a whole lot of, I suppose, hitherto unknown information about Boyce Walther.
Yes, we did. So usually when we research an article, we look at their service files and Red Cross wounded and missing files, any newspaper reports and family histories that we can find on him. And we had started to write the story of Boyce. And then we were contacted actually by a man in Melbourne who knew of Bernie's story. And When researching his own family history, he'd come across a number of letters and photographs and newspaper cuttings that his grandmother had kept on Captain Walter. And the story of it happened to be that his grandmother, as an 11-year-old, had written to their family friend, Boyce, and he wrote back to her and he called her Bub and, you know, told her all about the different sights he'd seen in France and England. And she kept these letters her whole life and photographs of him, and it was just really amazing for us to be able to make that connection to someone today and see how our history has been passed down through the generations.
Yeah, amazing. The other interesting thing about this is that while Bernhard Walther, Boyce, was fighting, his father, who, because of the surname Walther, was having a tough time back in Perth.
Yeah, that's true. And it is true of many men with German descent, or women as well. Just families of German Australians really did suffer persecution during the First World War because of their last names or from where they had come from. And even though Bernie's family had been in Australia since the 1840s, they did suffer discrimination against them. So, yeah, it was quite sad that here you've got this wonderful war hero who was thought so highly of by his comrades and his friends. And yet back home, his father suffered persecution.
And was followed and kept under surveillance?
Yeah, I think a lot of German Australians, you find, were kept under surveillance, and some were even interned within Australia because of their German ancestry.